Sarah, believing the impossible. The Bible gives us many inspiring stories of women who demonstrated extraordinary faith. For instance, we read of Ruth, a Moabite widow. She chose to follow the God of Israel, and her faith led her to Boaz and into the lineage of the Messiah. We read of Esther. Esther trusted God's purpose for her position as Queen of Persia, and she risked her life to save her Jewish people from destruction. These women trusted God despite difficult challenges, showing their faith is not bound by gender, status, or circumstances. And these women remind us that God rewards those who trust in Him. Now, another woman who exhibited extraordinary faith is Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And the writer to the Hebrews commends Sarah for her faith. He says in chapter 11 and verse 11, "Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." When we trace Sarah's story from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to chapter 21, we see a complex but wonderful journey of faith, one that includes struggles, flaws, growth, and finally, fulfillment. It seems incredible that Sarah, with all her flaws and failings, is a model of faith for us. Yet we are going to see how Sarah's faith was awakened by God in such a spectacular manner that she was named among the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Sarah's faith was not perfect, but it was real, and God honored her faith. The story of Sarah's faith begins with God's remarkable promise of a seed or offspring to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 to 3 tells us of God's call to Abram, or Abraham as he was called then, to leave his country and his kindred in Ur of the Chaldees, and to travel to the land that God would show him. God promised Abraham that he will make Abraham a great nation, and that through him all the families of the earth will be blessed. When Abraham and Sarah got to the land that God had promised to give him, God appeared to Abraham again, and God said to him, "Unto thy seed, or to your descendants, will I give this land." When God gave this promise in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham was 75 years old. Sarah was 10 years younger, and so she was 65 years old. God then reiterated his promise to Abraham multiple times. We read of it in Genesis chapter 15, chapter 17, and also in chapter 18. In fact, God changed Abraham's name to Abraham, which means the father of many nations, to reaffirm his promise to Abraham. And if you recall, on one starry night, God took Abraham outdoors and asked him to count the stars in the sky. Genesis chapter 15, God told Abraham, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars," or "number the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." God promised Abraham that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars, the countless stars in the sky. Now, God also made clear to Abraham, if you look at the verse before, in verse 4, God says, "That which shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." Why did God make it so specific? Because Abraham, childless and nearing old age, had initially considered adopting Eliezer, his male servant, as his heir. And so God said, "Your very own son, your flesh and blood, shall be your heir." Undoubtedly, Sarah knew of the promises of God. And so this morning, we want to look specifically at Sarah's reaction to God's promise in Genesis chapter 18. And we'll cross-reference it with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. The reaction of Sarah to the promise of God followed a threefold course. And I'd like to draw three lessons about faith for our application. First of all, you will see that faith is not always perfect. Little, if anything, will lead us to believe in the intervening chapters in Genesis 12 to 21 that Sarah was distinguished for her faith. Why? Look at the reaction of Sarah to the promise of God in Genesis 18, our text for this morning. Her reaction to the promise of God was one of sheer incredulousness or unbelief. Now, this incident took place some 24 years after God first made the promise to Abraham of a seed. By now, Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 89 years old. Look at Genesis 18, look at verse 1. And the Lord, and you will see that the Lord, the word Lord is capitalized. And the Lord here refers to Yahweh or Jehovah, appeared unto Abraham, you know, as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Abraham was outside his tent when he saw three mysterious men standing in front of him. And one of them was the Lord himself, God Almighty, taking on the appearance of a man, as verse 1 reveals to us. Where was Sarah? Sarah was inside the tent in verse 9. And as she was preparing a meal for these unexpected visitors inside the tent, God told Abraham that by the next year they would have a son born to them. Look at verse 10. I will certainly return unto thee according to thy time, or according to the time of life. In other words, I will return to you about this time next year. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now look at verse 10, the second part of verse 10. Sarah was inside the tent, behind the tent door, and she heard what the Lord had said to Abraham. How did Sarah respond to what she heard? Scripture records for us in verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. When Sarah heard the promise that she would conceive and bear a son in her old age, her initial reaction, perhaps understandably, was to laugh. You know, her laugh was not a laugh of joy. Her laugh was a laugh of unbelief, of skepticism. It was a laugh of impossibility. It just cannot be true. Why? Because Sarah was doubly barren. It was a biological impossibility. First, because of her inability to conceive. When we are first introduced to Sarah in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 30, we are told that she was barren. Genesis 11 verse 30. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. She was unable to conceive. Sarah initially became excited about the promise made to Abraham, and she saw that she had a definite part in the bringing forth of a great nation. But try as they might, nothing happened. No child was conceived, and Sarah remained barren. In fact, in Genesis chapter 16, after 10 years of waiting, Sarah offered her maidservant, if you recall, Hagar, to Abraham in an attempt to help God fulfill his promise. And of course, this led to the birth of Ishmael. Such action hardly demonstrate faith in God. And we all know what a disaster that was. Sarah made the mistake of trying to give God a hand. And there is always a recipe for trouble. Now, secondly, apart from being barren because of her old age, now look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Abraham and Sarah, they were very old. Abraham was 99, Sarah was 89. and Sarah was well past the age of childbearing. Look at what it said. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, Sarah has gone through menopause. There was no more eggs left. It was all done, all set. In fact, Romans chapter 4, verse 19 was even clearer. Sarah's womb was dead. Deadness of Sarah's womb. And so it was impossible for her to conceive naturally. Humanly speaking, it was just impossible for Sarah to bear a child at the age of 89. She was past the time of having children. And disappointment had come time after time. And so the prophecy, the promise that she'll be a mother by next year, you know, was just laughable. It was just too good to be true. And perhaps in her eyes, it was just absurd. Now, what Sarah shows us here in Genesis chapter 18 is that faith is not necessarily a faith that is always perfectly expressed. Do you sometimes laugh inwardly or doubt when God calls you to believe in something beyond your understanding? If you have ever laughed at God's promises, well, you are in good company this morning. Even heroes of faith have moments of doubt or internal struggle. Now, we always imagine that faith, you know, is bold, is unwavering, and flawless. But the Bible paints a more realistic and honest picture. Faith sometimes falters. Sarah, like all of us, faltered in her faith. And some of us struggle with doubts and unbelief, especially when the circumstances seem impossible. You recall the disciples of Jesus? What was their immediate reaction when they were told of the empty tomb and of Jesus being raised from the dead? The Gospel of Luke records for us that Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women told these things about the empty tomb and how they were told that Jesus was raised. What was their response? Look at verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, as nonsense, and they believed them not. They could not bring themselves to believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. The disciples of Jesus, in an earlier occasion in the storm, you recall the incident in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Jesus instructed his disciples very clearly, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. Let us go over to the other side of the lake." But when the storm came, they panicked. They woke Jesus up, crying out in panic mode, "Master, Master, we perish." They forgot that Jesus had already told them that they would be crossing over to the other side. In other words, they will reach the other side of the lake. And they had seen Jesus perform countless miracles and walk with him day by day. But they still found it hard to believe that Jesus would not let them drown. And they doubted. And the Bible tells us that Jesus chided them. "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" Now, even strong believers struggle with doubts. In the Gospel of Luke, we have the story of Zacharias the priest and his wife Elizabeth, who were said to be righteous and blameless before God, and they had no child. Similar to Abraham and Sarah, the narrative says that Elizabeth was barren and they were advanced in years, implying they were old and beyond the natural years of childbearing. While Zacharias was serving as priest before God in the temple, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." What was Zechariah's response? Well, he said, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Zechariah was basically saying to the angel, "How do I know what you are saying It's true. You know, look at how old Elizabeth and I are. How can this be possible? Zechariah's response was one of unbelief. Now, and who was Zechariah? Zechariah was a priest, and he was ministering in the temple. And he was one who would have known how God blessed Abraham and Sarah with a child in their old age. And yet, he still showed such unbelief when a similar promise was made to him. And so the first lesson I want to share with you is that we must learn and we must acknowledge that our faith may be imperfect or weak. And we are not always strong in faith. We read earlier from the gospel account how a father brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus, desperate for help, but acknowledging his own lack of faith. You know, Jesus said to him, "If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." But the father cried out with tears, "I believe, help thou my unbelief. I believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief." This cry is a powerful acknowledgement of the struggle between faith and doubt, an experience that we commonly face, and also the need for God's grace to strengthen our faith. And Jesus did not reject this father. He honored his small, struggling faith because Jesus healed his son. And God does not wait for perfect faith to work miracles. He honors real faith, even when it is mixed with doubts or fears at times. And so, listen carefully. Faith does not always come instantly. You know, faith is not a straight line. It grows through struggles and wrestling. Faith is not about perfection. Faith is about progress. You know, like a child learning to walk. A child wobbles and falls many times before walking confidently. The falling does not mean failure. It is part of learning to walk. But what is really important is what you do with your doubts or with your struggles. Bring your doubts to God. Be honest with God about your struggles, about your doubts. Yes, faith can be weak, but God does not reject weak faith. And he meets us in our doubts and strengthens our trust in him. You know, Jesus does not reject those who are weak or struggling. The Bible says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Instead, the Lord offers his grace and restoration. And so Sarah's story teaches us that faith isn't about never doubting. It's about continuing to trust God even when we do. Faith does not require perfect confidence. Faith requires honest confession and surrender to God. Faith is not the absence of fears or doubts, but trusting God in the midst of it. And so if you are struggling to believe what God has promised, as I said, you are not alone. Sarah struggled too. But God did not give up on her, and God will not give up on you. Now, the second lesson that we see from this story about Sarah is that faith rests on God's promise. Fast forward to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 11, and the writer highlights Sarah's faith. Through faith, also Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Sarah, the one who loved, yes, even though her faith faltered, Sarah came round to trust in God's promise and in God's faithfulness. And I want you to note, the writer to the Hebrews does not focus on Sarah's laughter. It highlights her faith. And how comforting it is to always remember that God remembers our faith and not our failures. Now, how did Sarah come to believe God's promise? The Bible does not give us a step-by-step account of Sarah's journey from doubt to faith. But when we carefully piece together Genesis 18 and Hebrews 11 and verse 11, we can trace how Sarah came to believe God's promise of a child. And I believe the key to this change is found in this expression in Hebrews 11, verse 11. She judged him faithful who had promised. And that was good judgment, wasn't it not? Sarah considered God who had given her the promise to be reliable and to be true to his promise. And this is what faith is. What is faith? Faith is believing in God's promises to us. Now, look at Genesis 18 carefully. Genesis 18 tells us that when God appeared to Abraham, where was Sarah? Sarah was inside the tent, hidden from view, but overhearing the conversation. If you look at verse 10, we are told in Genesis chapter 18, verse 10, Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And when God gave the promise, Sarah laughed within herself. Look at verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. Now, Sarah's laughter was an internal reaction. No sound was heard. She laughed to herself. She laughed within herself. And so, no sound was heard. Not only that, no facial expression, be it a scoff or a frown, was seen. Why? Because she was behind the tent door. And so Sarah laughed within herself, but the omniscient God who was outside with Abraham saw and knew what transpired in her inner being. And God said to Abraham in verse 13, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah laugh? God knew. And then God asked a rhetorical question in verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And this is the heart of the matter. Is anything too hard for the Lord? This question is a turning point in the whole encounter. You know, it redirects Sarah's focus from her physical limitations to God's omnipotence. And God went on to restate the promise that at the appointed time next year, Sarah would have a son. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You know, all of us struggles with issues of life and issues of faith. Sometimes the realities of life, especially when we're going through trials and hardship, make it difficult to believe the promises of God. And we doubt the Lord's power to do what He says He will do in His Word. But today God asks us the same question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now think about it. Is there any problem you are facing that's too hard for God to resolve? Perhaps the salvation of a loved one? Perhaps, you know, as Pastor prayed, a wayward child? Is there a problem that just got so bad that God would have to say, sorry, it's too tough for me to handle? No, nothing is too hard for God. There is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Sarah must have been surprised or even shocked that the person or the visitor had detected her laugh. And when she tried to deny it, the Lord said, no, you did laugh. Look at verse 15. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. And it was then that Sarah's faith must have been awakened. It was then that Sarah must have realized, the person who made this promise knows everything about me, even my private unbelieving thoughts. He is no ordinary stranger, but the Lord God Himself, and He made the promise to me. And I believe from this point on, Sarah's faith was awakened. Because this was a divine encounter, and this divine confrontation planted the seed of trust in her. Robert Bruce, a 16th century Scottish preacher, said, it was not a mere man who was dealing with her, neither was he an angel. For angels cannot see into our innermost thoughts. Therefore, at once it dawned on her that this man speaking to her was the living God. It was at this point she knew that nothing was impossible for such a God. And Sarah believed wholeheartedly that God would fulfill his promise. Now the expression, she judged him faithful who had promised, means Sarah thought it through and decided that God could be trusted despite her doubts, despite the delays. Sarah's faith rested on God's promise. And I'd like you to see three things here. First of all, Sarah heard the promise. God said in Genesis 18 verse 10, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Sarah heard the promise of God. This was not a vague hope. This was a specific word from God. And so even though Sarah laughed, she heard the promise firsthand. She was confronted by God's truth. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Secondly, Sarah reflected on God's character. She judged him faithful who had promised. Now the strength of any promise depends on the person who gives it. When someone says, I give you my word, how good is that? You know, if that person is known to be unreliable or unable to fulfill his promises, his word is not worth much. Don't take it seriously. But if a person is known to be trustworthy and able, his word means a great deal. And faith comes down to judging that God is faithful and able to keep his promises. Because no one is as faithful as God, and no one is as powerful as God. And so Sarah had to shift her focus from how can this be to who is the one who has promised. If God said it, then he would do it. Faith is not about how strong we feel, but it is how reliable God is. Now, thirdly, Sarah chose to trust God's faithfulness. You know, she reasoned, she weighed, she considered, and she made a judgment. God can be trusted. God must be trusted. The verse said, she judged him faithful. She did not judge herself faithful, nor Abraham faithful, nor her body faithful. She judged God faithful. When we remember that the one who makes the promise is God, there comes the realization that however astonishing that promise may be, it must nonetheless be true. Faith involves trusting in God's promises, even when circumstances seem impossible. And so perhaps you are facing an intractable problem right now. If so, ask God to open your eyes so that you will have a greater understanding, a deeper understanding of who God is. Don't say it is impossible, but consider instead, God is able. Now, we also need to be careful about applying the promises of God. You may have met people who say to you, all things are possible with God. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So, what do you want? Name it and you claimed it. Nothing is impossible with God. The only limitation is your faith. Let me suggest to you that this is not sound theology. Because our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is not in our faith. But our faith must always be in God who has promised. In this instance, God made a specific promise to Sarah. And the promise was that Sarah in her old age would have a child. That promise was given to Sarah. That promise is not given to every person. God has not promised that every woman will have a child. And so you'll be very cruel to say to a couple who longs for a child, Sarah, believe. And if you have enough faith, you can have children too. Likewise, God has not promised that every sickness will be healed. God has not promised riches to all who believe in him. You see, faith is trusting God to fulfill his promises. Faith is not trusting God to fulfill our wishes, because faith is tied to a promise. Thomas Merton, an English Puritan, said this, wherever we put forth faith, we must have a promise. Otherwise, it is but fancy, not faith. In other words, what is promised to us by God, faith rests on it. It is not an opportunity to assume we can dictate to God whatever we want. It is God who has given to us certain promises, and like Sarah, we are able to receive what is promised to us because biblical faith rests on God's promise. Faith is believing that God is who He says He is and will do what He says He will do. And our God is a faithful God. The Apostle Paul reminds the believers in Thessalonica, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. There will be twistings and turnings. There will be disappointments and failures. But God's promises will be fulfilled. And so to all, let us remember this. Trust not in the measure of your faith, but very importantly, we must trust in the object of our faith, which is God Himself. Because faith does not create miracles, but God does. Now, the third lesson that I want to share you from Sarah's story is that faith receives power for the impossible. God kept His promise. 1 year later, God gave Sarah a son, Isaac, in her old age. Genesis 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord said unto Sarah, as He had spoken, or as He had promised. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at a set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And the name Isaac means he laughs. You know, Sarah was laughing again, but in a very different way. Her laugh of doubt has become a laugh of joy. Tears of joy streamed down her face as Isaac was born. Her waiting has turned into witnessing the faithfulness of God. And that's why in verse 6 of Genesis 21, Sarah said, God had made me laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. Wow, by faith, God did that for Sarah at the age of 90. That Abraham and Sarah would have a child, humanly speaking, was impossible. It was a miracle. As Sarah said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? Who would have believed or said to Abraham that his wife Sarah would be a mother at the age of 90? Unless God supernaturally enabled Sarah to have a child, she would not have one. But faith receives what logic cannot explain. You know, faith does not deny the facts, but it overcomes them by trusting a greater truth. She judged him faithful who had promised. Now, the Bible places special emphasis on the fact that this miracle took place in Sarah. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. The verse says, it was Sarah herself who received this strength or this power to conceive. The miracle of Isaac's conception took place because strength came to Sarah. And that's why the spotlight is on Sarah's faith in this verse. Later in the book of Genesis, we are told that after Sarah died, Abraham married again. You know, he has six other children with his second wife, Keturah. And so though Abraham was very old, he was not beyond becoming a father. But Sarah, in her old age, Sarah by faith, received God's strength, God's power for the impossible. Now, this wasn't willpower or positive thinking. It was God's power entering her weakness. Now, Sarah did not make herself fertile. God did. And Sarah received it. Now, look at the word in Hebrews 11, verse 11. The word says, Sarah received it. Now, the word receive means to take hold of. God gave the strength, but Sarah received it from God by faith. Sarah took hold of what God promised through faith. And the emphasis here is on faith as the means or the channel by which we receive from the hand of God. Faith brings into our possession what we did not have before. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Do you believe? Do you count him faithful who has promised? We need to believe with all our heart that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, faith is foundational to inheriting God's promises, requiring us as believers to trust in God's character and also his word. And that's why we read earlier in Hebrews 11 verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently by faith seek him." Faith in God is crucial if we are going to see God work in our lives. You know, faith is like the switch that connects us to the power of an omnipotent God. You know, a lamp will not turn on unless it is plugged to the power source. And our faith is like that. It doesn't create the power, but our faith connects us to God's power. Are you facing an overwhelming challenge? Here is a promise to you. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Do you need renewed strength? Here is a promise to you. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Do you need to find peace? Here is a promise to you. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And God has what we need today. Ask with faith and receive. Why would he expect God to do great things through us? You know, if we don't ask, how much more might we have received from God if we ask more and believe more? Now, Sarah had to wait 25 years for the fulfillment of God's promise. It happened in God's appointed time. And here, I think God has many lessons for us, but I will just share with you two. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to wait. Delay is hard in life. Often we think God is too slow, and he ought to act faster. But let me just say this. Waiting upon God is not wasted time. It really is training time. God didn't delay because he somehow forgot. He delays in order to grow our faith. You know, last week, Pastor was speaking on Hebrews chapter 6, and there's a verse that you all must take note. Hebrews 6 verse 12 says, "Of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." How do we inherit the promises of God? The verse says, "Who through faith and patience." And the word patience here means endurance or perseverance. You see, faith and patience go hand in hand in the life of every believer. And Sarah's story reminds us that faith isn't about perfection. It is about perseverance. God's promises may take time, but they will never fail. Will you hang in there when you don't see the immediate fulfillment of the promise? Often God brings us to the end of our strength, so that you will trust in his ability to do the impossible. You know, some of us think that the reason we struggle in our Christian life is that we are too weak. That isn't always so. The reason we struggle in our Christian life is that we do not recognize our own weakness for what it is. And so we often trust in ourselves, you know, in our wealth, in our accomplishments, in our experience, in our knowledge, rather than in the Lord. But when we see our weakness and cast ourselves on the Lord's strength, then we are strong. You know, God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who are helpless. When they helped themselves, Abraham and Sarah came out with Hagar and Ishmael. When they were helpless, God gave them Isaac. And that's the first lesson. The second lesson, why did God make Sarah wait 25 years? It is to align with God's bigger story. You see, if Isaac had come earlier, people might think it was just late fertility. But at 90 and 100, only God could have done this. It is as if God says, I will wait until it's so utterly impossible that no one will believe it, and then I will make it happen. The delay made it undeniably God's miracle, not human effort. And Isaac wasn't just a child. He was the child of promise, the beginning of the line that would lead to Christ. It was not Ishmael, it was not Eliezer, it was Isaac. And God's timing with Abraham and Sarah, their only child, was part of a bigger redemptive plan. Sarah thought that she was too old to be used by God, but God gave her a child in her old age who was to be the ancestor of Christ. And so Sarah's story highlights the importance of waiting patiently on God, even when we don't understand His timing or His plan. Sometimes the delay isn't just about you. It is about what God is doing through you, to you and for you, and also for future generations. God's delay has a purpose. That way He can be more glorified as we trust in Him in the delay. And so rather than focusing on answers in this life, faith trusts God to keep His word in His time. And so as I conclude, let me just say this. Sarah, despite her struggles with doubt, in the end came to the place where she did believe and trust God to do what would seem impossible. Her life shows that even imperfect faith can be honored by God when it is rooted in trust in Him. Because faith is not about being perfect. Faith is about trusting a perfect God. God doesn't need flawless believers. He also works with struggling believers who are willing to believe. And so when your faith feels shaky, well, even Sarah laughed, and yet she received the promise. And I hope this will be an encouragement to anyone who has failed in the past, that you can still claim victories by faith. And so keep on believing, keep on waiting, and keep on trusting, because God never fails. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your word this morning. Even as we look at the faith of Sarah, Father, we thank Thee for her faith, to remind us that we have a reliable, that we have a faithful, that we have a perfect God. And so help us, Lord, in our day-to-day struggles and doubts, that we may bring them before Thee and to cast it upon Thee and to trust, Lord, in Your purpose, in Your plan, and Your timing for us. And help us, Lord, that we may run the race of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him went to the cross for each one of us, that we may run the race and that we may finish well. Hear this our prayer, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.